under the sun all the days of his life which God giveth him, for this is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. I'll say this more later. When you're seated, this is for your benefit. I will not mention this today, except right now. If you want to understand Ecclesiastes, one of the refrains we'll look at in a moment is under the sun. Another refrain is, in the King James, vexation of spirit, meaning something about this life has a way of just getting at you in the inner man. And number three, the concept of hevel ha-hevelim, vanity of vanities. The only other place that's taught in the Bible directly is Romans 8, 19 to 23. Did you get me? If you want to understand Ecclesiastes, you have to read Romans 8, 19 to 23, where Paul is going to tell us this. We live in a world under a curse. And this whole world is groaning and travailing. And it was made subject to this vanity, not because of itself, but because of our sin. And one day, when we are released from death and dying, this world will also be restored to the way God made it. So to understand this concept of being under a curse, Ecclesiastes, Romans 8, 19 to 23. I'm going to speak this morning in this title, Living Under the Sun, or if you prefer, Living Under the Curse. They're both true. We now live, no matter who you are, by the way, no matter if you're saved or not, you live in the here and now. What does that mean? And I'm going to try to share some very simple ideas, nothing deep, about that. Let's pray, please. Father, thank you for this beautiful text. Obviously, I have spoken on this text before. How could I not? I'd love to speak on the whole book over a period of weeks. But for many, it becomes too painful. We like to avoid anything that doesn't make us smile. Ecclesiastes gets at the hard side of life, under the sun. Help me this morning to share simple ideas of how your word tells us we are to live under the sun or under the curse. Thank you for this time. Bless in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Living under the sun or living under the curse. I'm not sure who saw it first. I don't know if it was my wife saw it first, or I saw it first and read it. But I know I talked to Jenny a minute about it, and then yesterday, Amy, because I couldn't find it when I went to look on Facebook, she sent it to me. Some friends of ours from our church in St. Louis, which has now been a long time ago, a couple put something on Facebook this week. They were in our church for about a year, maybe 2 years in St. Louis. They were from Bangalore, India. He, though, was the same group as her. He grew up in North India, didn't speak Telugu. He spoke only Hindi. So the funny thing is, Indian couple, been married probably over 50 years, well over 50 years, and when they speak to each other, they speak in English because they don't speak each other's languages. Their name is Jess and Grace. Wonderful couple, wonderful people. I'm going to read you what they wrote. By the way, all of you waiting to flip off into wherever you're going, maybe you ought to listen. We are moving and downsizing. All household items are to be sold. Bedroom furniture, bookshelves, office desk, lawn equipment, space heaters, dining table and chairs, washer, dryer, refrigerator, microwave, and many items. Text me if you are a serious buyer. Then somebody said this, "Where are you moving to, please?" He replied, "They live, by the way, in eastern Tennessee. They live in Knoxville area, which is a pretty area. They're moving to Raleigh, North Carolina. Just said we're moving to Raleigh to be near our son." Young people, I got a question. Do you have any idea what that means? I'm asking you a question. Do you have any idea what that means? That means they're too old to take care of their house. They're too old to take care of their health. And they're going to have to move some other place. By the way, I'm going to say very positive things because that's the only thing I can say about this couple. Jess and Grace were just a wonderful couple. Their testimony, Satish, you'll like. He was an engineer, of course, back in the day because he's in his 80s now. And so I never forget Jess would always give this. He says, "We had the opportunity to come to America." He said, "I had all of my earthly possessions in two suitcases." And he said, "Somewhere on the way here or when we got here, somebody stole the two suitcases." Welcome to America. By the way, nothing but good. Jess grew up. His dad was a missionary. His dad was a Baptist missionary in the far north of India, right after the time of partition, which for most of us, with the exception of you, don't even know what that means. Pakistan, used to have two Pakistans, now you got Pakistan and Bangladesh. It was a very tough time. His dad was a missionary, and he lived with his father. Jess grew up in a godly home, and his dad died very young, but had a very successful mission work there. Anyhow, Jess and Grace come to America. They have a couple kids, of course. And he shows up at our church, and I do not know the year, somewhere between 1988 and 1996. And just everything about them is good. Great testimony, great life, just good people. They are the first couple I ever learned from the couple how to live. They are not the only couple I know now. We have two or three families in this church like that. But it was the first couple I ever met that made a lot of money that lived beneath their means. And you say, do you understand beneath your means? Am I speaking English? Meaning, if they made $1 million a year, they lived on $500,000. Wasn't near that much. But they made a big salary. First time they pulled into our parking lot, he drove a very ugly, boring car. And I thought, I don't know. Then I found out he was a high-level executive in his organization, and he made a lot of money. But I learned this from him. We have two or three families in this church that are similar. And if you don't know who they are, maybe you should figure it out. They were giving 40, 50, and 60% of their money to missions. So instead of buying a Lamborghini, which he might have been able to afford, instead of buying three Lexus, they just drove normal cars their whole life, and all of their money was invested in missions. Unbelievable family. I learned that from them. Good people. You say, why do you bring Jess and Grace up? Look up here. No matter who you are, you're going to come to your place where either something like this happens. The game's up. The game's over. The life is over. All of a sudden, you can't take care of yourself, and someone else is going to have to do it. And then the question is, shouldn't we be thinking about elements of this all the way through? Because we live in a world, no matter who you are, no matter godly Jess and Grace, good couple, godly people, prayer warriors, givers, servants. He would go back to India and preach up where his dad had started churches back in 48, 49, and 50. He would go there and preach. These are good people, but you live under a curse. So what I want to do today is try to get to what does it mean to live under a curse now? What are we supposed to be doing, or at least some of those things? Now turn your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. This is all background. By the way, this is the reason I don't preach on Ecclesiastes. You pull the, by the way, I heard sermons on Ecclesiastes. 99% of the sermons are from the last two verses. Some of you don't know the last two verses, so you don't know what I'm saying. Or they pull a line out of context. Because you cannot just dive into the book. Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 2. We'll just start there. This is one of the repeated phrases in the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, hevel ha-hevelim, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And to even translate that word, it just, I think the best way of thinking is little child chasing, look at me everybody, chasing a bubble. What happens when you catch the bubble? That's vanity of vanities. That's where the book begins. Verse 3. What profit, oh, by the way, vanity, or the word vanity, hevel, is found 37 times in the book. The other main place, Romans 8, 19 to 23. Because there's something about this life that you can never really get your arms around it. Verse 3. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh, here's another repeated phrase, under the sun? That's found 27 times. So 27 times the author, Solomon, says, and listen, let's not look at life talking about heaven over the sun. Let's look at life under the sun. What's going to happen? How should you live? What should you expect? So these two phrases, under the sun and vanity of vanities, or something to that effect. Emptiness of emptiness, where you're always chasing things and no matter who you are, how godly you are, it doesn't quite 100% work out. That's part of life. All right, verse 14, please. Just introduce you to the concepts. Verse 14. Now you find all three concepts. Solomon says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. And behold, all is vanity. And that concept seven times found vexation of spirit, which means the struggle becomes an inward frustration, an inward longing, an inward striving, an inward upset. You're just upset on the inside. You have all three phrases. Under the sun, vanity or the emptiness or the grabbing the bubble, and vexation of spirit. Chapter 2, verse 11, please. Chapter 2, verse 11. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought or finished, and all the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity. In some ways, everything comes to nothing. And vexation of spirit, it's something that upsets you internally. And there was no profit under the sun. Again, all three phrases. Verse 17, Solomon said, by the way, do you know why people don't read this book? Look at verse 17. Therefore I what? Look, everybody, can I say this to you? I love you, but I want you to hear me. If you do not experience this, there's one thing I know about you. You're a liar. Everybody experiences in life things that aren't perfect because we don't live in heaven. We are not yet there. I know there are people that think we're in the kingdom, and it's like, man, if this is the kingdom, we're a mess. The kingdom and what God is going to do is future. There's going to be times when you're going to say, I just hate this. I hated life because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me. For all is vanity, and back to that inner working of irritation. Chapter 5, verse 10. Chapter 5, verse 10. I'm sorry if you grew up Keswick and you're a happy, happy Christian and everything is happy, happy. And let me say this, folks. You're gonna enjoy this morning's sermon, but I hope you don't think that everything's going to be happy, happy every day. I hope you understand, look, you need to learn to live under the curse because we don't live in heaven. And if you're thinking this is heaven, you're going to be really disappointed. Chapter 5, verse 10. He that loveth silver, drop the word silver. He that loves money, you know anybody like that, that always thinks about money? Shall not be satisfied with, what? Chase it all you want, folks, you'll never be satisfied. Nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This also is, verse 11, when goods increase, boy, is this not the truth. Did you ever get a bonus at work and immediately your car breaks down? Did you ever get an increase at work? And by the way, excuse me, I'm going to say something political. We all know that Biden has the economy under control and there is no inflation. I told the kids, if you think there's no inflation, do me a favor. Go out to eat and compare that to 3 years ago. Food has doubled in price at restaurants. Don't talk to me about things are good. I feel like I'm living in la-la land and people are just believing lies. We continue. He says, when goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof saving the beholding of them with their eyes? Boy, they get to look. Verse 12, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat a little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep because he's always worried about his money and counting it. Verse 13, there is a sore evil which I have seen, say it with me, under the sun. Namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. Both those riches, but those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he, by the way, see if you've ever heard this phrase before, or something similar. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came. Seems like Paul talks about this. Seems like Job talks about this. And he shall take how much? He says, he shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored under the sun? So, friends, please look at me. I'm going to say three. There are three truths in Ecclesiastes 5, 18 and 19 that are beautiful. They're wonderful. But look at me. They're not happy, 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 happy. They're actually telling you and I how we live under the sun or how we live under the curse. And friend, as a Christian, I know this world is cursed, but somehow we get really confused and we don't ever understand. I love this job, but not on Mondays. Or I love this, but I don't love it. Of course, because there's always going to be this internal vexing of the spirit. We don't live in eternity. We don't live in the kingdom. We don't live with Jesus ruling and reigning in Jerusalem. We live now. So Ecclesiastes can be jarring. It can be uncomfortable. It can even be disorienting to some degree. It's not a negative book. It's a book that just kind of wants to slap you upside the face so you recognize this is never going to be perfect. Folks, let me say it, and we'll look at Ecclesiastes 5:18. If you're comfortable, something is really wrong. Because there's always going to be pieces of life that aren't what you want them to be. So we have people in this room. They've lost family members in the last week or two. That's normal. Why? We're not in the kingdom. We're not in heaven. That's yet future. So when Ecclesiastes kind of slaps you, makes you uncomfortable, disorients you, that's intentional to bring you back. Not to say there's not an eternity. Not to say there's not a heaven. Not to say there are no rewards. But Solomon wants to keep dragging you back so you are able to deal with life as it is. All right. So what does he tell us? Look back at chapter 5, verse 18. Chapter 5, verse 18. So what does God say? How does God say we ought to live this life now under the sun? Well, here's one of his conclusions. There's quite a few of these in Ecclesiastes. Behold, look, check this out. That which I have seen, it is good and comely or appropriate for one to eat and to drink. Everybody look at me. How many of you had something to drink this morning? Let's ask it. How many of you had nothing to drink today at all? Now, some of you might have gotten up too late to eat. And some of us could miss eating for a long time and it wouldn't hurt. But most of us eat and drink pretty much every day. Yes, we all agree? He says, you know what? It's a very good thing. It's a very appropriate thing for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good things that come from your labor that he taketh where? Where? Under the sun. All the days of his life which God giveth him. Why? For it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. I would say the first thing Solomon is telling us is so simple. Number one, enjoy your life. When I say enjoy your life, I mean enjoy your day-to-day life. Enjoy the small, simple, routine, mundane things of life. So let me say it in other ways. The author, ultimately the Lord, begins not with something grandiose, not with you need to be excited or you're going to, something good's going to happen to you. No, he just says, start in this life under the sun. Just enjoy your life. The basic stuff. So that's where the Lord begins. The everyday stuff. Eating, drinking. He even says, you're eating and you're drinking. He says, that's good. It's a good thing to enjoy that. It's a good thing. It's an appropriate, fitting thing. That's what we should do to learn to enjoy, to eat and drink, the very normal things. He goes on to say, and to enjoy the good. Otherwise, you work, there are good things that come from that. Learn to enjoy the good things that come from that. Friends, look at me. I sent Bambi a text this week. I think it was a text. I don't have my phone. My phone's upstairs. I have an iPhone 13. When we bought it, that was the last iPhone for that week. The next week, 14s came out. Well, I told, didn't I send you something? And I sent her something because I saw 15s are coming out. I got to have a 15. You say, why do you need a 15? By the way, all of the young people that are always checking out of church, when do you check in life? Look at me, I'm asking you a question. Why do you need a 15? Because it's cool, it makes you special, right? That's the very thing that the author's saying. He's saying, you know what? If you have a 13 or if you're somebody that still has a flip phone, can you still have a flip phone? I'm not sure. You know, you have something from, the fact is there are probably people in this room that don't even have a phone. By the way, Pam Hall, now she's sophisticated. Mike? Not so much. If he ever gives you his number for his cell phone, this is my recommendation. Don't take it. You see why? He never has had it on in my whole life. So you're never going to get him. By the way, but if you have a phone, let me ask you, did you read what it says? Look what it says. To enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life which God giveth him, for it is his portion. So he's telling you, you know, enjoy the good things that God gives you. But here's our problem. We have something good, but the moment later, I'm going to speak Greek now. You see something gooder. I need a 15. Or, by the way, it's no joke. When Tim and I bought our 13s, I got the, what do they call them, minis? It's the smallest one. Do you know why? I don't want a backpack for my phone. I want to be able to put it in my pocket. There are now phones that two people have to, you know, you have to hire somebody to carry your phone so when you hold it, one can hold both sides. Everything, we're always, I'm going to enjoy that one. The author says, enjoy your life. If you're able to purchase some things, learn to enjoy those things. You say, I want to buy, I don't know, where I'm from, everybody has to have a truck. Actually, everybody has to have two trucks. You have one truck you use. And then you have one truck you show people. But I don't care who you are, friends. You're down there where I'm from in southwestern Illinois. You pull up in that truck and you have tires. You got it all lined up. And guess what? Somebody pulls up right beside you with a bigger truck. That's the he's saying, you know what, just learn to enjoy the good. Don't wait for the, I know this is not a word, the gooder. Just enjoy the good. Enjoy it. Look what else he says. Look at verse 19. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth. Wow. So if God has given you a little bit of money, enjoy it. And he's given you the power to eat thereof and to take his portion. By the way, that portion used twice has the idea God kind of gives you an allotment. God kind of gives you a share. And you know what? Whatever share God gives you, enjoy that share. And not only that, he says, and God also gives you the ability to enjoy that share. Friend, have you ever been sick? Years ago, because of some circumstances, I was dumb not knowing what they were. I developed a cataract in my right eye. But I didn't have a cataract in both eyes. I did not know the problem. Now, some of you don't do what I do, but I read a lot. Normally, 3, 4, 5, probably more like 6 hours a day. I like to read. Do you realize if you're looking through a cataract, you know what that gives you? Migraine headaches constantly. I didn't know what the problem was, so I would take, part of it comes from my background, I wouldn't take Tylenol, I would take aspirin. Is that a wise move? No. It got rid of the headaches better. It also burned a hole in the lining of my stomach. So on one night, some of you remember this, it's been a long time ago, 15 years ago or so, I lost 1/3 of my blood in one night. When I went in, my hemoglobin, and I could tell you about all of the details, but I'm assuming microcytic and normocytic anemia is not in your understanding zone. Here it was, friend. I bled out 1/3. They got it fixed right away. They put me on omeprazole, and they knew it wasn't a normal. It was from the aspirin. I quit doing aspirin. Omeprazole, literally, by the time I had the scope, which was a week later, the hole had disappeared. Unbelievably. Why do I tell you that, Jenny? Do you remember we had the Bowders over? Was it the Bowders or was it the Halls? I think it was the Halls. Maybe it was the Bowders. Maybe it was both. She made some of my favorite food. Do you remember you had purchased me orange soda? When I opened the can of orange soda, it tasted, some of you that understand losing blood, what this means, the soda tasted like salt shaker. I even said, Jenny, something's wrong with this soda. It tasted like I was drinking salt. So she got me another one. It tasted bad too. Do you know what the problem was? It was me. Losing that much blood does something with the pressure in your cells and sodium and potassium inside, intra and extracellular. And everything tasted like I was eating a salt shaker. Did you read this verse? Look at it again, verse 19. It says, to whom God giveth riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof. Do you understand? He's saying, listen, enjoy what God gives you. God also gives you the ability to enjoy it. It might be God takes that away. Last year, I think, or the year before, Kevin Botter, my friend, got COVID. They put him on that medication, and for 3 months, he said, no matter what I ate, it all tasted bad. That whatever that taste from the medicine they gave him just made food taste bad. God gives us the ability to enjoy. Sadly, many ideas and habits interfere with us enjoying our life. Solomon says, enjoy your life, enjoy your food, enjoy what you drink, enjoy your comforts, enjoy your blessings. But yet things get in the road, busyness and the rush, and we're running around like we're crazy and we're busy all the time. And frankly, some of us have too much. We've given too much to our kids, and our kids are only happy for the 30 seconds that they have the iPhone 15, because 30 seconds later, there's going to be an iPhone 15 plus, and next month, there'll be an iPhone 16, and we're never happy, we never enjoy. He says, you know what? Under the sun, enjoy your life. Enjoy what God gives you. Don't let busyness, don't let the rush, don't let having too much Learn to enjoy what God gives you, your portion, what he apportions to you. You know, that part that he hands to you. And by the way, he says to do so in the mundane. Mundane meaning the day-to-day normal stuff, eating, drinking. Can you hold your hand here and turn to 1 Timothy 6:17? I can quote 1 Timothy 6:17. I'd like you to see it. 1 Timothy 6:17. There are three reasons, and I'm not going to focus on them, I'm just going to say them. There are three reasons why people don't enjoy their life. Number one, they're too stinking busy, or they're, you know, busy looking over their shoulder. So they will be happy once they get the other car. Can I ask you a question? Do you ever go to a car store and look at cars? What do you do when you're looking at those cars? You don't want any of them, right? Now, let me ask you, if you're home with your car, you're pretty happy. If you go to the car store, you're not happy with the car. You've got to have a new one, yes? That's part of the game. We're never happy. That's part of our problem. Just the lust for more. Part of it's the busy. And some of it is we can't be still and enjoy anything. We just can't be still and actually enjoy what God gives us. Sadly, there's even certain kinds of Christianity, Keswick to be exact, it's a form of theology that basically says if you're enjoying life, it's either sin or it's almost sin, or as I heard one pastor say at one time, it might not be sin, but you could be doing more spiritual things, not according to the Word of God. The most spiritual thing you can do under the sun is, look at me, the great God of the universe gives you things, learn to enjoy what you have. 1 Timothy 6:17. Charge them that are rich in this world. That would be every person in this room. Because every person in this room, comparatively to around the world, and certainly throughout history, were wealthy. He says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Here it is. But in, you ought to be trusting in, the living God who giveth us richly all things. I went out to lunch Thursday with my friend Phil Scott. He grew up, Jim, I think you were there back in the dark ages. There's a big town down along the Illinois River called, by the way, massive town, called Nutwood. How would you like to be from Nutwood? Nutwood. And it's right along the Illinois, close to the Illinois River. When it was huge, there were 75 people there. After the big flood that you were down in Alton, there's about 20, okay? Two-thirds of the houses got destroyed. Phil and I were talking, reminiscing. Now, friends, hey, look up here. Some of you aren't going to hear a clue, but I'm going to tell you what I do. Phil said something that just snapped me right back to childhood. He said, you know, we lived in a little house that had four rooms right in Nutwood. He said, we did, and this is his language, we had a commode, but we didn't have a shower or a bathtub. Do you want to, now can I translate? I don't know about ages and places, which in the old days meant you took a bath in a number two tub. I can see nobody knows what I'm talking about. It was made of corrugated steel, and it was about this big. And I looked at Phil and I said, you know what? I grew up my whole life taking a bath in a number two tub. Here's the problem with that number two tub. About fifth grade, I wasn't quite as tall and handsome as this guy back here, Kui. But I started getting tall in fifth grade. You ought to try to put that whole body in a number two tub. In fifth or sixth grade, my dad got a corrugated tub. No joke. It was not like this. It was the same metal. It was long. I thought I went to heaven. I could be seated in the water and take a bath. I remember, Ezra, when I was over with your family, the room I had didn't have, the showers weren't working. They had a tub there. And I think it was Luther came in one time. He said, well, we can do something. And I looked at him and said, first of all, you have water. We didn't have indoor water. I said, you got water and you got a tub. He said, oh, you got it in the water. Sorry, the water was actually fairly warm. Not like in the Philippines. So it was just, you know, it was a big thing, container of water, and you had a dipper So you say, what did you do in the morning? By the way, you don't need coffee. Just go out there and start putting, just pouring cold water or you know, putting water on you. And you lather up and you pour some more and hey, voila. Can I tell you what I do? This is not a joke. Some mornings, not every day, I get in the shower at home and I just let it run. And I remember a number two tub. And I remember not having indoor water. And Phil said, yeah, we had one wood stove. And he said, for that little house. And I said, we had one wood stove for a big farmhouse. The whole house, we had one stove. Upstairs in the wintertime would be below freezing. I was good at one thing. I could get out from under a feather tick. And if you don't know what that is, forgive me. Get out from under the feather tick into my clothes and down the stairs in two steps. Boom. You say, well, you don't want to freeze to death. Man, enjoy your life. Quit messing around. Look at me. Quit messing around looking out there. Enjoy what you have right now. Because, by the way, you're not going to have it forever. One day it'll be you saying, we're downsizing. Went to see my mother recently. I love my mother most of the time. She has a couple of bad habits. She has two bad habits I don't like. And no, Jenny, I'm not going to say some. She also has some others that I won't mention. You say, what are her bad habits? Number one is she remembers far too much for somebody 92 years old. You know, at that age, you're supposed to be forgetting. Every time I bring something up, she remembers every story. Not good. The second thing about my mother is this. If you eat a meal with my mother, you better plan on spending a long time eating the meal. My mother takes a bite, chews the whole bite, and swallows. She is the slowest eater I have ever met. And you know, at 92 almost, look at me, she still enjoys the simple things of life. Now, my mother's a country girl from southwestern Illinois, semi-country. She grew up in a small town. She could be Mexican, too. This is my mom. She could have frijoles 7 days a week. You say, beans? Can I tell you something? Because she just likes simple stuff, and she tastes it all. Every time I'm around her, I'm just like, Mom, you irritate me. I don't tell her this because she'd whack me. But it's just like, Mom. Now, me? Every time I'm around my mother, I remember of Company 526, United States Navy. That was my company in boot camp. And this is what happened. I grew up and went to boot camp at 18. First day in Company 526, we got up early in the morning. I do not remember the time. I think it was 4 or 4:30. We got up because you had to hurry to go to chow. And by the way, calling it chow was a compliment. Your dogs probably wouldn't like it, but it was something edible, mostly. We went to chow, and I still remember we're up before this light. It's 4:30 in the morning. Probably somebody like Louis Hedas was my company commander, mean, you know. Louis, do that eye thing. Can you do that eye thing for us? He can't when he's smiling. You know, he looks at you funny. All I remember is our company commander took us to the chow hall. No joke. And I learned the most important thing I learned in the United States Navy. Hurry up and wait. Hurry up and wait. So we got there at like 4:30 in the morning, and the chow opened at 6. You say, what do you do in the meantime? You stand there and try to stand at parade rest forever, ever. Finally, we get in. We start in the line, and of course, my name ends with Warren. I'm the head of the last squad. I'm the whatever squad leader. I'm the guy at the back of the bus. Everybody goes through. Our group starts through. We're going literally sliding our tray down, looking at food that may or may not be food, and trying to pick something to eat. And I remember I was almost to the end of the line, and this is the words. I'll never forget them. In nice, by the way, very gentle. Company 526, line up. I learned to eat in line, standing up. So I did the very thing I'm telling you not to do. I learned to do this with food. You know what I'm talking about? I've been spending the rest of my life trying to unlearn what I learned in boot camp, eating standing up. My friend, I can't do this exactly. Two things have changed, but I'm going to do it because I enjoy it and I still do it. This is the wrong kind of orange soda in two levels. Number one, it's the wrong kind. And number two, doesn't have sugar. When I was a boy, we had glasses that were glass. And we did not have cans. By the way, Amber, do you understand what cans used to be? You had to have a can opener? No. All I know is this. Once a week on Friday night, my mom and dad bought a, it was eight, I think there were eight or six, 16-ounce bottles. We got one bottle for four children. And each one my mother carefully measured so you got exactly the same in four containers. And I still remember. Boy, do you know orange soda has a good smell? Mmm. I would take that 4 ounces of orange soda and it would take all meal to drink it. You say, why? You get aftertaste before the taste. Mm. By the way, some of you think I'm laughing. I mean, you think I'm kidding. Can I tell you this? There's only one better soda that I've ever had than an orange. That's a Manzanita, but they don't make it without sugar, so I can't drink it. But friends, I look back as a child thinking we got 4 ounces once a week. And you made sure that your sister and brother didn't get one drop more than you did. And 4 ounces. And you could spake that 4 ounces, and you would drink that for an hour. By the way, if you do that, it aerates it, so you get it before, during, after. It's a great, great effect. You say, Pastor Warren, you're weird. Can I say this to you? Most of you, please look at me, most of you never enjoy anything. Actually, most people are going to enjoy, they're looking at you right over their shoulder to get where they want to go to enjoy something. What a miserable way to live. I'm not going to drink the rest of this. I'll gargle later. Look back at Ecclesiastes chapter 5. You know what? There's people in this room that grew up very differently but poor. Hey, how about this? How much candy did some of you get as a child? I'm asking you a question. In my world, very little. So if you got a candy bar, that was a big deal. And you didn't eat a candy bar like you. I go up to my office and a couple of the kids, they get a candy bar this morning. You understand, they eat it in one bite. I could spend an hour on that little candy bar. That was a big deal. Look what else it says. Enjoy your life. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 18. He says, behold, that which I have seen, it is good. It's a good thing. And it's comely or appropriate or it's well-fitting for one to eat and drink. And look what else it says. And to enjoy the good of all his what? His labor. That he taketh under the sun all the days of his life. Verse 19. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his, what? Labor. Number one, you enjoy your life. And number two, you enjoy your labor, your work. To even say that is a curse word to many people. But I just believe that is a fundamental premise in life. I do not know who I first heard this from. And if you've been in my Bible class, you have heard this, but you will hear it again. Everyone look at me. You might as well learn to like to work. You're going to do it the rest of your life. So all of this nasty, blah, I hate this, blah, It's like Solomon is saying, you want to really get it under the sun, enjoy your life and enjoy your labor, what you do. Things like this, recognizing I can work. I get to work. I have the ability to work. I even get to choose my work to a great extent. Most of what I do is what I want to do, like to do, love to do. It is work, but I get to choose it. Not all of it. You say, are there honeydew jobs that you have to do? I don't know, because my wife doesn't give me honeydew jobs, but I have a daughter that gives me something. I don't know what they are. They're not very honey, though. But friend, mostly I love doing what I do. To work 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, what else would you want to do with your life? You want to meet a bored person. You want to meet an unhappy person. Meet somebody not doing anything. I mean, the Lord is saying, and learn to enjoy what God gives you to do. I can work. I get to work. I have the ability to work. I even get to choose to a great extent my work. I can't imagine not working. I love my work. I do what I love, and I get to call it work. Yes, I work hard. I work long. I work with details. Sometimes mind-numbing details. I spent 4 to 6 hours doing something that no one in this room would understand. I was going looking at verses with the Hebrew word asheri, which is the word for blessed or happy. I wanted every reference in some notes that I was typing up, and I don't remember how many is in the Old Testament. You see, that's not a big deal. I put the King James here, the Hebrew here, ESV here, and a blank spot. But there's a problem. The book of Psalms is all out of order. So you type in Psalm X46:4, and in English it's correct, but the problem is in Hebrew, if it has a title to the psalm, that kicks 46:4 down to 46:5. And the mind-numbingness of this, can I say this? I get to do that. I get to do this. I feel bad for people who have no work to do. I love to do what I do. And I like to work hard. I like to work long. And I like to work with details of the kind that I'm good at. I like to. It's mind-numbing, but I like it. I work because I love it. Solomon says, enjoy your labor. My goodness. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, out of the heart, as to the Lord and not unto men. When I hear people saying, I hate my work, I want to change jobs, I want to learn a new trade, I say to you, go for it, but find something you're passionate about. Learn a new vocation, or if you can't do that, a new avocation. And if you can't do that, a new really solid hobby. Do it now. Do it before it's too late. Gordon Edgington said the last time I saw him, which some of the old-timers here know, Jenny, you were there with me, Gordon Edgington, which was unconscious, over 90 years old, in the bed that he died in, could barely speak, said to us something to this effect, we live too long. You know why? Because he was a man that loved to work. I want to say this to you. You say, how do I live this life? Here's where it begins. Enjoy your life, the one God, the portion that God gives you. Friend, if God gives you the ability to have a Lamborghini, I guess that's fine. Until some idiot runs into your Lamborghini and then you see, the problem is that isn't going to do it. Learn to enjoy your life, what God gives you. Learn to enjoy the labor God gives you. There's a third concept. Look back at the text. This is so very obvious. Verse 18, behold that which I have seen. It is good and comely or appropriate, fitting, for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor. So you have enjoy your life, the very mundane things, enjoy the labor and the fruit of it. He says, which he taketh under the sun all the days of his life. Why? Here it is, which God giveth him. Verse 19, every man also to whom God hath given. The very last line of verse 19, this is the gift of God. Enjoy your life, enjoy your labor, enjoy the Lord. It is the Lord that gives you life. It is the Lord that gives you what you have. It is the Lord that gives you abilities. It is the Lord that gives you a job. And my friend, behind it all is the Lord. Solomon starts under the sun. He cannot stay there. You cannot really live this life under the sun, because whatever you have comes above the sun, comes from the Lord. Learn to enjoy the Lord in life, in your labor, in the details. Friend, can you smell it? Can you smell the orange? Look at me in the eyes. Who do you think gives you your five senses? Do you realize God could give us everything we eat and drink taste like paper? Two things. Number one, the very nature of there being taste means God somehow originated the very concept of that. Plus, he gives you the corresponding taste. Everything you have the ability to taste and enjoy in your life comes from God, that gives you the ability to taste and that which is tasted. Everything you see that is beautiful, and there's lots of beautiful things, God not only gives you that which is seen, he gives you the ability to see it. Jenny has some bird feeders right out by our living room window. And man, the birds that are there are just beautiful. There's all kinds of woodpeckers. There's just all golden finches, all kinds of birds. And the beauty. But friend, what if I couldn't see the beauty? I can see to a great extent the beauty. So I not only have that which is beautiful, I have the wherewithal to see it. It is my God that gives me that ability. How about this? When you drink this, by the way, you know taste and smell are connected, right? You ever have a cold? You can't taste and you can't smell. It's all connected. By the way, God gives you the ability to see. He gives you the ability to smell. He gives you the ability to hear. And there's lots of beauty to hear. By the way, everything in life is an opportunity to enjoy the Lord, because he gives it all to you. He gives us our taste. He gives us our smells. He gives us beautiful sights. He gives us beautiful sound. By the way, stop, 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 and taste. Stop and smell. Stop and see. Stop and hear. I don't know if this is true. Somebody told me that my youngest grandson, Evan, is a very slow-moving, gentle young man. But this is what I can promise you. He is what he is. But the thing I like to watch is, no matter what he's doing, look at me. See these things? He has an affinity for feeling stuff. And most of us, look at me, you haven't seen anything, touched anything, heard anything, smelled anything. Your senses are dead. Therefore, you don't enjoy life. You don't enjoy the Lord, because it's the Lord that gives you all these things so you can enjoy those things. It all comes from the Lord. You got to stop. You got to slow down. Jenny had gotten some kind of a little, I don't know what it is. All I know is it's like a car races through plastic like a maze, but you use a magnet underneath. Here's little Evan, 2 years old. He figures that out immediately. He wants to move that little car, you know, on top from the magnet underneath. He can feel that. He can see that. He can sense that. My friend, we lose all of that. We lose the Lord in life. Let's turn to one last text, could we? I have more to say, but I'm going to stop with one last text. James chapter 1, please. James chapter 1, verse 17. Sometimes on YouTube, yes, sometimes I take a break. I listen to music sometimes. Once in a while, I'll even watch, what do they call those? Somebody that's listening to the music, their reaction. My favorite one is Luciano Pavarotti, Nessun Dorma. You say, who, what, who? Did you just speak Polish? Well, let me just say this, friend. If you ever watch Michael Jordan play basketball and realize how good you're not, I can't sing, but I understand singing. I understand volume. I understand volume control. It's always funny to see people, they don't know who, you know, Luciano Pavarotti, who's that? Nessun Dorma. By the way, the reason you sing Nessun Dorma is this. 99.9% of humans could never sing the song any day of their life. They can't get that high, and they can't sustain those notes. Oh, my goodness, to watch people, and they're like, do you realize our God allows me and you to enjoy everything? Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. God not only made those things possible, he gave me the ability to enjoy them. And you're depressed? You're looking for the iPhone 15? Look at me. God bless your pinhead. Maybe you should start enjoying your iPhone whatever now. And enjoy your friends and enjoy your world and enjoy the birds and enjoy the blessings and enjoy the sounds and enjoy great music. And if you don't know what Nessun Dorma is, you just got to listen and see if you can sing along and hold that last note that he holds like 2 days. Then you will know, ah, this is a different kind of person. Here it is, James 1:17. We conclude, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. My friend, the God of heaven, above the sun, so to speak, tells us who live under the sun, look, you're not going to control life. You're not going to avoid some things. Death is coming, all of that, unless the rapture happens. But in the meantime, enjoy your life. Enjoy your labor. Be engaged. If you don't like what you do, find yourself, your vocation, find an avocation, a second kind of work that you love. If you can't do that, find a hobby that's really positive. Do something and enjoy the labor that God gives you. And through it all, look at me, please, and I'm done. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. So when you got to be careful I don't choke. Look at me. Look at me. I can be thankful for what I have. I can be thankful for the one who gives it to me. And I can be thankful for the work that provides the money. Wow. Father, thank you for your word. You seem like simple truths. But for people that are rushing, people that are consumed with stuff, the next stuff, next, 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 can never be happy now. Father, thank you. Help us to just learn to enjoy our life, our labor, and the Lord, and all parts that you make possible. For these things, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.